Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is a celebration on this Tuesday, a Royals win, a Chiefs win. We bring in Dan Israel of Chiefs Radio Network. You heard the call last night on KNSS. Mitch Holthus, Dan, the crew in there with a big victory for the Chiefs. Dan, on a Tuesday, the thing that stands out to me more than anything else, I don't recall an individual play calling game plan effort better than what Andy Reid put out there last night. I don't know that he's ever done a better job calling a game, preparing for a game. They had the Saints on the road. The Saints could not figure out what they were doing, and it was wild to watch it all live.
It's funny you mentioned that, Jacob, because last night when I did my interview with Andy, one of the things I mentioned was the coaching mechanics. We saw over the weekend what poor coaching mechanics looks like. The Buffalo Bills game, the Bengals game, there were some coaching decisions, some clock management that was ponderous. And I felt like not only did the play calling really excel last night, you saw them make the review decisions. You saw them calling timeouts at the right time. I just felt like the coaching mechanics that the entire coaching staff did, both offensive and defensive and special teams, was really stellar last night, and it turned into a convincing win.
They were dominant in the game. The red zone issues were a problem. It should have been even more. But I just thought, coming in, I had a good read on it. I said they're really going to use the tight ends, and they're going to feature Kareem Hunt a lot. And they did. It was really that part to me was fairly predictable. If I can guess it, it's fairly predictable, right? Because I'm not a coach. Then in the second half, they turned it upside down. All those tight ends out there started blocking, and they opened it up for the receivers, and they started to feature Juju, and they started to feature Worthy. Like, it was like they had two different game plans within the game, and I just don't remember ever seeing that before. It was crazy.
Yeah, we knew we were in for a ride with the tight ends, right? When we saw four tight ends active, it's like, here comes Andy Reid with some creativity. And then you're absolutely right. I thought Juju Smith-Schuster yesterday had the kind of game that you expected a guy with his record and his past to have. He not only, I know he was upset over the interception, especially in the end zone. That's the worst kind of interception you can have. But man, did he come flying back. Two huge catches, late in the game and really moved the Chiefs down the field at a time when they needed to. Answering that interception, Jacob, to me, was really important. That's what good teams do, right? When they get faced with adversity, they figure out a way not only to move through it, but to answer it. And I thought they did a great job of that.
Dan, one of the things that really impresses me is five straight wins to start the season. Team 5-0. You're the world champions and you're 5-0. You're taking everybody's best shot. I'll be real truthful. I'm really shocked at 5-0. This is the NFL, by the way. I mean, anybody can beat anybody. And to be 5-0 at this point says something special about this team, particularly when you think about injuries to running back, receivers, almost you name the position, and there have been difficulties in getting people to play, being able to play all through this team. And to be 5-0, I'm just amazed and shocked at this because this is the NFL. Your thoughts on just how good can this team actually be? Can it even be better than it was last year?
Yeah, Paul, it's interesting. We always talk about stacking wins, right? Meaning that, hey, you're going to lose a game here or there. You're not going to have every game go your way. And I think it's interesting that every year since Andy Reid has come to Kansas City, he's had a five-game winning streak somewhere in the season, and at least one five-game winning streak. But when you're undefeated, and look, we've been through this a number of times, at least in my career, where it gets exponentially tougher every week. The pressure of being undefeated itself starts to fight you. Not only are you getting, as you mentioned, everybody's best shots, But the pressure of everybody talking about the Chiefs are still undefeated, will they remain undefeated? It becomes really tough to deal with. And you get up to 7, 8, and 9, it's immense pressure. And very few teams can handle it. You know, there's really only been a few in the history of the game that have made it bigger than that. I know that's premature as we sit at 5-0 to talk about that, but I think what's amazing is if you had asked me in the preseason, what do you want to see in the month of September? I would have said, well, I really would like to go 3-1, might go 2-2, and then we're going to have to turn it on in October. I don't know what to think now. We're sitting here undefeated.
And you'd have been asked that question before you knew Hollywood Brown and Rashi Rice.
Yeah.
And Isaiah
Pacheco. Yes. Good
point. We're all hurt. That's the part. I don't even care what their record is now. As much, I mean, I do, but I think we're seeing enough things, and it's like this reunion team, right? We have all these familiar faces on this team, which was funny that Colin Saunders had his big play on the other side as we're talking about a reunion of things. But Juju, Travis Kelce to me was outstanding last night. Juju had this yardage explosion. He was running wide and free. But at least, even if he has lost something from what he was 2 years ago, and certainly something from what he was when he was a very young player, he showed you last night that when it's dictated, he can get the job done. And clearly it was dictated last night by how wide open he was. That makes you feel a little better about the Rashi Rice injury, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I think we always talk about how Father Time is unbeaten. But I think one of the things we undervalue is that with experience comes the ability to really, when a game needs you, when you've got to make the difference in a game, you can do it. And I think that's something that most rookies struggle with. Most veterans who were at one time good players still have that in them. We saw that last year in the playoffs, right, where everybody just turned it up a notch and how valuable experience was. But, yeah, Juju looked great last night. I mean, and you're right, Kelce – really had a good night as well. I thought it was funny in Mahomes' press conference. He said he was asked about the lateral by Travis Kelce. And he said, you know, I told him, just get in field goal range. And he does that. He's just like talking to my daughter, Sterling.
That's funny. And you know, one of the things, Dan, that Jacob and I were talking about earlier is the offensive line and the quality of protection. It was pretty good. Lot of the night, it was excellent protection, and there was a couple of plays where it was such good protection that Patrick Mahomes was moving around in the pocket when he didn't need to move around into the pocket. And I started thinking to myself, you know, this is a young man who is at his most comfortable moving around in a pocket. And we brought up the old name of Johnny Unitas. I think you're old enough to remember who Johnny Unitas
is. Yes, sir.
Did he ever move anywhere in the pocket? He stuck right where he was right there. Now, you come get me. Here's where I'm at, right here. I'm not moving. Come get me if you want to get me. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, this is football today. This is some of the great football today. Patrick Mahomes moves around in the pocket as well as – and I'm going to make this statement. You can chide me if I'm wrong. I think Patrick Mahomes moves around in the pocket as well as any modern quarterback has done in the last couple of decades when that was the end thing to do. Your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes and his ability to create, his ability to move, his ability to do things to, you know, to keep from getting sacked. Your thoughts on that, particularly with last night?
Well, you remember, Paul, we used to say, he's got happy feet. He's got happy feet.
Happy feet. You know? That's right. Very good. That's great.
Happy feet anymore because he can throw from anywhere. But you're absolutely right. And I do think that he is trying to work on his patience. I'm just not sure it's part of his demeanor, you know. But I do love that one of the things I love about Patrick Mahomes is he keeps his eyes up and looking downfield. And that's just so important. And when you can throw without having that kind of traditional Johnny Unitas plant, step, and throw, moving around in the pocket becomes one of those things. Okay, maybe he's doing it so he can have more a clear vision of what's downfield or not. I don't know, but you're right. He bounces out of there sometimes when you wish he wouldn't. You brought up the offensive line. Man, I don't think we can underchime their bell enough. Yesterday, they were commanding in almost every play. I was fascinated. It's been several years since they had a 300-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, and 100-yard receiver. And they did it yesterday with Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, and Juju Smith-Schuster. And you got to credit the offensive line, right? You don't have that without an offensive line that's in charge. And so those guys did a great job. I really was duly impressed with that.
So I asked Tommy this yesterday ahead of the game. I said, look, if we had to put on paper, like what do we think outside of Mahomes? Like, what's the strength of the Chiefs offense? It's the interior line. I mean, it is. It's the center and those two guards. Yeah. And when that happens, you run the ball. And they did. They ran it 32 carries by the backs. I was glad to see them try to boost Carson Steele's confidence, because I think he's going to be a factor in some way down the stretch here. But that's it, right? Like, this all starts with the run. I know it looked good throwing the ball yesterday, but it's about running the ball still for this team because of the defense and because that middle of the offensive line is as good as there is in football.
Yeah, I was impressed with the number of first downs they had rushing the football. And honestly, I don't know what to think about Kareem Hunt. I mean, he almost looked like he never left and was back to that kind of starting running back form. I mean, he was running tough and right over the middle, and he was finding holes where there were barely any. And that's something special that we saw in him in 2017, 2018. And so I was just in the Chiefs' willingness, because look, you know, it's almost like they got back together with their ex-wife there. You know, I mean, they let him go, and then their willingness to put the game plan in his hands was very impressive. I agree with you on Carson Steele. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that they've shown they can handle kind of developing that rookie, developing the player along a path that isn't too much, that doesn't break the player, but builds the player. And so I'm trusting that's what they're doing with Carson Steele, because I thought what we saw out of him early in this season was great. And, you know, I don't want him to be penalized forever for that fumble. But I think that right now, with the way Kareem Hunt, what are we going to do when Isaiah Pacheco comes back? Oh. I mean, obviously he's a quarterback, but look at the depth you're going to have in that room. It's amazing.
Right. You know, one of the things that I don't know the answer to, because I'm not sure I ever saw anything or heard anything with regards to a moment on the sideline when there was a little kerfuffle. Am I saying that right?
Kerfuffle.
I'm trying to be educated here, but there was a little bit of a problem on the sidelines, and it looked like that amongst the defensive players, something was going on. There was some yelling. There was some shouting. I mean, I'm glad a fist fight didn't break out, because it looked like something serious. I never did figure out, nor have I heard, what that was all about. Do you have any insight as to what that was all about? Or was that just football players who are passionate being passionate?
That's it. I didn't ask Chris Jones, but I can guarantee something went wrong on one play, and then it happened again. And Chris Jones is the leader of that group, and he's a fiery individual. So, you know, he'll get his point across. It's one of those things. Remember when our kids were young, we told them, don't listen to how the coach is saying it. Listen to what he's saying, not how he's saying it. And I think it's a little with Chris Jones. It comes across very strong. And sometimes that doesn't always sit well with everybody. And so voices get loud. But I think you nailed it. It's just players, their competitive spirit is so ramped up there that it spills over onto the bench sometimes. They want to be perfect. And look, you saw late in the game, Derek Carr is lucky he got out of the game, because Chris Jones was just going to keep coming. And I
had a lot of offensive line injuries, right? Jones was feasting there.
No, and the worse it got, you know, when the guy, you know, you're dropping guys every week, including this one. And I felt sorry for the Saints, because I was talking to the play-by-play guy for the Saints, and he said, you know, it wasn't a stellar line to begin with, and now we've got backups and back, and that's just a recipe for disaster when you talk about our defense line. But I think that's what it was. I just think they were just fired up.
So on the other side of the ball, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network executive producer, joining us right now on Sports Daily, our Chiefs insider. Always appreciate the visits. The defense was great again too, And as good as the offense, I think we just expect it now, but only allowing 220 yards. They were great against the run. They were great against the pass. Chris Olave, who's a star in this league, shut down by Trent McDuffie. Shouldn't surprise anybody. I don't think, you know, you can't say enough about it. And we bring it up all the time. I thought Mitch Holthus was crazy before the season when he told us he thought this defense could be even better.
Yeah.
I think it might be now. Like, are we far enough in to say that it's at least as good as it was a year ago?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I really thought kind of the beginning of the season, I almost thought, Jacob, that the loss of Willie Gay Jr. was more substantial and interesting to see him last night. And unfortunately, he couldn't play. But the defense was unbelievable. And to hold Alvin Kamara to six carries for like 40 yards, if you – I mean, I really thought that's what the Saints were going to do, is just come in and try to run the football down our throat. Because what else can they do? I mean, you know, you got this beat up offensive line. You're not going to back Derek Carr up to a 5-7 step drop and ask him to hold the football for two and a half seconds. Not with that line. So I thought Kamara, they're going to feature Kamara because Kamara's a dangerous, explosive runner still. And he's done, he's won them games this year. And so I expected to see just fistfuls of him, and the defense shut him down. Nick Bolton, man, he's becoming a beast. It's crazy. And you look at both sides of the cornerback situation, McDuffie and even Brian Cook got into the game. You know, I felt like the defense, we always knew the defensive line was strong, but we questioned the linebacking and the secondary. Can they maintain what they had from last year? The answer seems to be absolutely. And you're right. I think they got potential to be better than they were last year.
Well, you've got
to go to the bat. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, you've got to, in the games coming up, is there one particular game, let's say in the next 5 to 8 games, is there one game that you see as a problem? What is the one game that you look at that you think to yourself, you know, that's a game that the Chiefs are going to be fortunate to get out of with a win? What's that one team that bothers you, scares you the worst with regards to being able to beat the Chiefs?
Well, we don't play too well on Christmas Day.
Well,
I don't think that's really it. I think the way the Chiefs, and I mean this with sincerity, Paul, I'm not just homering here. I think if they play what they're capable to, no team really scares me. You know, I do think that, you know, going out to the 49ers is the next game, and that's a good football team, and you can't win them all. I mean, it just, your odds, I'd love to do that. I would love to upset the 72 Dolphins. I really would. But you just can't do it. It's so difficult. And with their goal being to, you know, three-peat here, they want to get into the postseason in a good situation. So, it's a great question. Coach is always kind of hammered into us. And it took me, man, it took me probably 10 years of his 12 to really get used to this. Just look at it one game at a time. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do, is I'm looking at the 49ers right now and saying, how are they going to beat the 49ers?
One more, the bad news of yesterday, Rashi Rice is out for the year. So now as we go into a bye week, this is sort of the week for Brett Veach to really drill in. But after what we saw last night, not just from Juju, but, you know, the game plan in general, do you think the Chiefs bring anybody else into the wide receiver room?
I think, yes. As we discussed last week, I think Veach is probably working the phones pretty furiously. I know some fans really want Davante Adams. I just can't imagine in my wildest dreams that's going to happen.
You can't afford him anyway.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm not sure he'd be worth it, to be honest. I think they should. And just from a depth standpoint, you know, not that Juju and Worthy can't handle it. And but I guess I'm giving up on Sky Moore completely. I don't think he's going to ever make it back into the offensive packages for whatever reason. And so they need to get somebody in there because, as you mentioned, the Rice injury, you know, rest of the season, we're not going to see him back. I am encouraged the fact that, so if fans don't know, they don't believe that it was a full tear, but the scoping it out and what he's going to have done still is a several month recovery, which is going to put him past the postseason. And so the good news is a complete tear would be a full calendar year, which would mean you wouldn't get him back till October or September of next year. And Then he's got to serve his suspension. So he could have been out quite a bit of the 2026 season or the 2025 season if things had been worse. So it is good news in a way, even though we're not going to see him the rest of the year. I'm happy for that. But I think they've got to go out and get somebody, even if it's not maybe a first, you know, tier name, an A-list name. They got to get somebody that can serve as that utility and can kind of fill in some of that role, because you can't risk an injury to Worthy or Juju Smith-Schuster. And, we saw Mecole Hardman out there last night in a little bit more than what we've seen. Didn't seem to be terribly effective, but maybe that's just the fact that he hasn't gotten the snaps that, sometimes you just got to get into the role of the game. And, he hasn't really had that. He hasn't been afforded that. So we'll see. But I think to your question, Jacob, they need to go out and get somebody.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jacob.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say my last question, Dan, is an interesting question, I think, and that is that I was so worried about going into this game. There was a couple of things. Now, this is a good football team, or at least we thought it was a good team. At least earlier in the season, this was a good football team, and I was really worried. But there was one thing that was bothering me about this team and their ability to win this game, and this was Taylor Swift being in attendance on this particular game. She hasn't been around for a while. And Dan, I was really concerned that there could be some problems with this team with Taylor Swift in attendance again. What's going on with Taylor? How's she doing?
Apparently the rumors of their relationship demise were exaggerated. I was more excited. I saw Dennis Quaid yesterday.
All right.
I was like, that's more my style, But I said he must be researching some kind of football rule or something. I don't know why he was there, but it was nice to see that, it kind of everything calmed down. And I hate too much when that becomes the storyline, right?
Yeah. Hey, Dan, eight love grand.
You said it, man.
All right. Dan, we appreciate it. Enjoy the bye week. We'll be back next week, and we will have a game to preview. It kind of times out well for a Tuesday visit to get it post-Monday Night Football headed right into the bye week.
Sounds good. We'll do it.
Thanks,
You'll
Dan.
Hear the Chiefs.
You bet.
And Dan Israel and the call each and every game over on the Chiefs Radio Network, KNSS. Happy to have them. Happy to have our Chiefs insider. All right. We can come back. We can react to some of that. We can open the phones back up the rest of the way at 869-1240. Appreciate you being here with us on this Tuesday. Great time to be alive if you're a fan of teams around this area. What a Monday night it was. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after that.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, celebrating a Chiefs Monday Night Football win, an impressive performance, a Royals win in Game 2 of the American League Divisional Series. You had the Tigers even. That's the other ALDS up. Paul, I don't know what to do here. I'm going to have to figure something out, because you know the old saying, when you're on a heater, you don't walk away from the table.
Right.
I've been on a little bit of a betting heater here Sunday night.
Oh boy.
With the Cowboys win, hit a couple of bets for me last night. The Chiefs, it was all over that game. I was real close to some like lotto ticket type things. Been pretty good with baseball. I was on the Tigers and the Royals. I say that with the baseball in the NLCS, I really don't have as much of a feel for those games right now. The Padres are pretty big favorites tonight with King on the mound, the way he pitched his last time out. Mets are slight favorites at home. It's been a little trickier in the National League. These are good series, though, aren't they? Like this baseball postseason has been really, really entertaining and competitive.
Yeah, everything's 1-1. I mean, that's where you're at right now. This is competitive. You don't know who's going to win. I mean, it really is. If I was to ask you right now, who do you got favored to win this thing? Would it be the would you say the Dodgers? No.
I don't know who I would say. I would guess.
Okay.
That it's the Phillies. I mean, we can look. We can look and see, because it's a good exercise. Let's just see We'll go to BetMGM here just real quick.
Okay.
That's the first one I could pull up. And let's look at the baseball futures. And right now it calls of World Series winners. It has the Yankees as the favorite, then the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Padres, the Guardians, the Tigers, the Royals, the Mets. You can still get 10-1 on the Royals. I don't think I agree with that. I would probably say the Phillies. Paul, I don't, but I'm not sure you can make a clear-cut case of any one team over another. And I say that, you know, as it pertains to the Royals more than anything else, because if you're the Royals and you're sitting here, and again, we mentioned a little bit of this in the last hour. If you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app to our interview with Mike Gillespie, our Royals insider. If I'd have told you, Paul, that the bullpen would be as great as it has been down the home stretch of the regular season and into the postseason, that was the thing we thought might hurt the Royals in the postseason, right? We knew that they had good starting pitching, and that was what was going to get them there. We know they have a good middle of the lineup, and Pasquantino's back. But I would tell you these two things, and that's that the middle of the lineup hasn't provided much at all yet, and the bullpen's been really good. Make a case, a convincing case. Anybody out there, make a case to me why any team is more equipped for postseason winning baseball than the Royals right now. I don't think there is one. You could say the Phillies, who have that great lineup, great frontline starting pitching. I could hear that case, but the Dodgers have a pitching problem. I get it with the Yankees, but I think the Yankees are in trouble in this series. Their big bats aren't hitting yet. They probably should be down 0-2. So, okay. Every team's got, you know, maybe you make a case for the Guardians. I know Clase gave up that big home run last night. That's not something he's really ever done, quite frankly. So maybe the Guardians are up there. I don't know that there's a team you're going to convince me definitively that on paper is just a whole lot better than really any of the others. I think they're all pretty even this year, just like the regular season played out.
Well, and I get what you're saying, and particularly when I like the way you brought up the Yankees, and you probably give them a little bit more credit than I would have given them with regards to slumping, because I think when you have the big bats like they have that have literally almost gone quiet, they're very beatable. I don't see them at this point playing the way they are, which can be changed tonight, by the way, or I guess
sure they can wake up at any point. They've got better pitching than they get credit for. Paul,
well,
Schmidt's good. If Schmidt's your number three, you're looking pretty good. Like the Yankees are good, and if it's ever possible, this feels like the year people sort of slept on the Yankees. I think they have anyway. You got Cole, you got Rodon, who wasn't bad last night, and Schmidt's been good all year. I mean, they're equipped for this thing too. I just don't think they're any more equipped than the Royals. I'll put it that way.
Well,
I think Yankees are a really good team, but on paper, I don't know that they're any more equipped than the Royals are. I guess maybe the bottom of their lineup is better, but the bottom of the Royals lineup is hidden right now, Paul. They're putting pressure on teams.
Right. And of course, I think everybody, if you're a baseball fan, you're tickled pink to see, you know, all the series that 1-1. This is competitive. Everybody's playing. There's really, I'm trying to think of some scores here in the past week or so, but there's been no blowouts. These are very, very competitive games. And really, and truly, I think right now you're kind of correct. There's about four teams that you could pick. If you really wanted to place a bet, and that's kind of what we're talking about, there are four teams that you could take that would win, could win the World Series. And so I think that makes for really good, fun, you know, play in terms of trying to get to the World Series. So, gosh, this is just going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, the Royals are really playing well. You know, if you remember correctly, I was a little concerned in the last, 3 weeks of the season, the Royals weren't playing well. They were not doing the things they needed to do. They had some losing streaks. And I was always concerned going into the playoffs that this would be something that could carry on. Well, it hasn't. It hadn't carried on at all. It's been pretty pleasant to see, and particularly you beat the Braves.
I mean, they didn't score a lot of runs in the Orioles series. They just had enough to get it done. That's what would feel a little daunting to me.
Right.
You know, if I was the opposition, is the bullpen has been so good for Kansas City,
right?
And you know, it's probably a full season's worth of work where I still don't totally trust it, but I'm good running it out there right now. It's a great time to be a baseball fan.
Yeah,
this is a wild year. There is not a dominant team in this sport this year.
Yeah, and it's been fun to see the Royals starting, and I'm going to say starting with maybe the Braves at the end of the year and then move into the playoffs and that kind of thing. You know, why not the Royals, though, Jacob?
They are equipped to make a run. They got three games left with the Yankees to decide it. You know what my favorite thing about yesterday was? Talk about how wild this season has been for the Royals. The fact that you had 76 combined years of age on Tommy Pham and Yuri Gurriel, you know, combining to score a run in that game. You know, knocking the other in. 76 years of combined age. We think about this whole season. And the Royals had to go find Pham and Yuri Gurriel, a 36 and a 40-year-old, and they're basically starting every game of the postseason. And they're productive. Gurriel has been incredible in this series. I don't even remember before the Royals added him the last time I thought of his name. And those guys are key contributors in a team that's tied 1-1 right now in the American League Division Series.
Yeah, it's something
it's
else
just,
to see.
In a wild 76 years, Paul. That's almost as old as you.
It's getting up there, isn't it? No, they've got me by a little bit, but not a lot.
All right. Royals fans, you can chime in. I'm having so much fun with the Royals, and I hope everybody else is too. All right, when we return, Jad's got some cut-ups of the game last night. We'll continue our celebration with some of our favorite calls from the game last night. Mitch Holt is over on the Chiefs Radio Network as we make our way down the home stretch here at Sports Daily.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. All right, so there was a play everyone was talking about. It was another lateral play, this time not called offside. Let's take you to the call of Mitch Holthus, and then we'll get the reaction to it.
Third and 22 at the 44-yard line of the Saints, leading 10-7. Again, a four-man rush. Quick pass. Kelce at the 40. Coming all the way across the field. Flips it off. It goes to Perine. He's at the 25. He is close to a first down. Kelce, who messes around in practice doing this a lot. He thought he had a touchdown last year. Remember on a play, he's got 21 yards. The Chiefs have fourth down and one. Kelce came right to left all the way across the field and almost was tackled, and then he shovels it underneath to Samaje Perine on an old hook and ladder.
Love to see it.
It's a part of the game plan. And then there was a great debate, and I loved it. I thought Troy Aikman and Joe Buck did a great job with it as they're debating on whether it was planned or not. Let's get the reaction to it, and then we can talk about it. So what you'll hear here, you've got Samaje Perine talking about the lateral, you've got Patrick Mahomes talking about the lateral, and you've got Andy Reid talking about the lateral play on that.
Like, he's playing backyard football, and experience it firsthand. It was crazy, but it was fun. Seeing him do the exact same thing in practice, so he's just staying phased to be ready for anything. And I've seen him do it in a game, so I didn't put it past him. Just stay ready.
I'm shaking my head because I told him before the play, I said, I'm going to throw it to you so we can get in field goal range. And he underhand shoveled it across the entire field. So, I mean, it's like I'm talking to, like, Sterling. So, that's Travis, man. He's a special player, and as long as he does it and it works, man, no one's going to say anything.
He does a great job, you know, with the decision to do that or not do it. If he doesn't do well with it, I tell him don't come back to the bench. So, you know, I always tell those guys, keep running, because Pat, when he starts moving around, you got to stay on the run. And he got caught kind of pulling up thinking the play was over, and, you know, Pat's pretty amazing with that ball. So, yeah, good lesson to learn, but then he came back and did a nice job on that play.
Yeah, it clearly wasn't called on the play. And no. I think that was a little confusing because Lee Salters asked him at halftime and he said, we practice it every day. So then they were like, okay, well, it was designed. Paul, that wasn't designed.
No, it wasn't.
the design is that his teammates are learning, be ready, which is pretty crazy if you think about it, because early in his career, Kelce would have tried to run six dudes over in that, but he's told us and he's shown, like, he understands he's got to preserve his body. And so he's always got his eyes up. If you watch him in the middle of the field, to me, it looks like he's looking for that play all the time. And P. Ryan was in perfect position, and I think you have the trust to do it. And that's funny. Andy Reid says, if it doesn't work, don't come back to the bench, right? It's one of those old things. But Andy Reid invites this creativity.
Sure he does.
He does.
Right.
And you've got players that you trust to get it executed. It was the perfect time for it. They converted that fourth down. Now, it didn't matter, but they converted the fourth down. I think it's a part of what makes him great, right? I say this all the time about Travis Kelce. He sees the field like a quarterback sees the field. He reads a defense like the quarterback reads the defense. I think we've learned that more with his podcast. If you listen to him sort of describe the game, right? And get through it. But man, when you see it happen, it's wild to think about other players reading defense. He knew where the other defenders were. We've listened to him walk through these plays before. Like, he's got an idea as soon as he catches the ball that he may have somebody over there running free because of the way the play was designed.
Well, it's the way defensive players react. They're going to go to where the ball is. Now the comment was made by someone that this is a hook and ladder. It wasn't a hook and ladder. This was a lateral to,
right?
Because a hook and ladder is basically
a called play.
Let me just walk through this real quick, because maybe people don't know. But the first receiver that receives the football, that's the hook. He runs a little hook route. He runs about 8-10 yards, hooks up. The ball comes to him right at the end of the hook, and then the ladder is a person trailing the hook and climbing the field on a ladder, climbing the field, and the ball is – that's where you get the term hook and ladder. That was not a called play. This was a situation where, by the way, you're Andy Reid. You got a future Hall of Fame quarterback. You got a future Hall of Fame tight end. Do you not trust them to do what they think is best and have a little fun? And let me tell you this. I'm sure I'm not at their training camp. You're not at their practices. We're not there. I'm telling you right now, those guys have fun screwing around with this. I can just tell you that. They're having a ball. They feel like they can create, that they have a coaching staff that believes in them. There are a lot of pluses to this ability for the Chiefs to do this. There's a lot of pluses amongst the players on that team and amongst the coaching staff. So it's a good thing, and it's fun to see. But, you know, I fully trust these guys. These are our future Hall of Famers that are pulling this stuff off. And you know who else really appreciates this? The players that are involved in it. Not just the quarterback, not just the tight end, the other players. They like it.
I think it's a great point. And I think that a part of what makes this Chiefs team at its core, the ones that have been able to stay together, right, a part of what makes them great is they just don't ever get rattled by anything. Last year was the closest we had seen. And that's why I think it was so strange to us, right? Like, they appeared to be rattled for the first time that I can remember at this generation of the Chiefs. Other teams get rattled all the time. The Jets just fired their coach after week 5, right? Like, we see teams get rattled. But the Chiefs never do. And I think a part of the reason for that is they do, even in this professional world, find ways to make it fun. And I've always appreciated that about Andy Reid, is that he has let the personalities of Patrick Mahomes, of Travis Kelce, of Chris Jones, to just become the identity of the team. And yes, all three of those players are Hall of Famers, all three of them. But they're all three also some of the bigger characters and I guess you could call it joyous football players, like people that just love it so much, and it does bleed out. And I think that's a part of the reason, Paul, you can lose Isaiah Pacheco and Rashi Rice and Hollywood Brown, all these players to injury, and still be able to be relaxed and calm and just sort of get out there and trust it. Or if something doesn't work, they're just like, all right, we'll get right back to it. You know, there's a lot of that in there, but I think that type of play is a really nice manifestation of a part of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the identity, the DNA of a team that you don't always see, and that's, of course, been a part of what has made the Chiefs so great for the last 7-8 years.
Remember, football and baseball and even basketball, they're all what? They're all children's games. Men Correct. Playing children's games. That's the point of this. Having fun. That's why you do it. Why do you play high school football? You play it to have some fun. By the way, Hook and Ladder. Saw one last Friday night. Highland, Topeka Highland Park, we're playing them. They run a hook and ladder, gained 10 yards. Ran it, caught the hook, got the lateral over. The ladder ran for about another 5-6 yards, tackled. But it was fun to see a team creative and doing that kind of thing. It's really kind of a cool thing. And it's a play that's been around, gosh, I think since the 1930s, to be real truthful. That's been around a long time, the hook and ladder. Anyway, I gave a little explanation as to what it was, how it sets up, what it really means. Imagine some people weren't quite sure what it was. But it's fun to see. And it's fun to see big, grown, professional adults making hundreds of million dollars having fun with it. It's fun
having
to see.
Having that much fun with it. Yeah. Everything went well for the Chiefs last night. Is that going to be the case in every game that they play in the NFL season? Of course it's not. It never is in the NFL.
Well, that's true.
It never goes that well. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't. You asked Dan, like, of the next, after the bye, like, what scares you? They got to go to San Francisco. They got a game against Tampa. They got a game in Buffalo. They got games against the Chargers, against the Texans, against the Steelers. Like, it's really, really nice that they're 5-0 despite these injuries. But they do have to just stop. They come out of the bye and go back-to-back road games. One of those, the second half of that, is a divisional game. Like, it is not going to be easy at any point, I don't think, for the Chiefs. As easy as it looked last night, and it did. They dominated the Saints last night. It ain't gonna be easy. It ain't even gonna be easy, you know, to lock up the top seed in the AFC. So yeah, we'll all party and celebrate it here today because it was a fun game to watch, and you had the things like the lateral and everything was working well. And it's not going to always be that easy, as we learned in some of the other weeks. But at the end of the day, Paul, Chiefs are 5-0.
That's right. Let's not forget Taylor Swift was there. She did her thing. I mean,
I know. Listen, you know, and she was sitting next to Brittany, Paul. I know you've been worried about that friendship.
I told you that a couple of weeks ago. I've been worried about the fact that I think they're on the outs. I think they're having a girl fight. I don't know what it was.
No,
I was concerned.
I think more than anything else, Paul, you know what?
What?
They're probably just as ready as the rest of us for this election to be over. That's probably what they're.
You know,
that's probably what that man.
That might be.
We got less than a month, and we don't have to worry about this anymore.
I think you may be right there. I think
let's all get together and watch some football.
Yeah,
how about that.
I think that's good.
Yeah, no, it was good to see them up. I had my kids, so I have my proudest moment of engineering. My two TVs hung next to each other, and I had my kids down there with me last night.
Can I ask a question? What is the response of your daughters? You got young daughters.
They love it. They're trying to learn football and the intricacies of it, but they are more caught up in the celebrity or the pop culture aspect of it right now.
Okay.
So my oldest daughter, who is a heck of a football player and probably should be playing flag football, we're going to work on that because she's got a cannon. Mm-hmm.
Going to be Olympic sport probably too, by the way.
Yeah. So she's watching and she's like, okay, she had the Kelce brothers mixed up. She thought Travis was Jason and Jason was Travis. So she got that figured out.
Okay. Easy to do.
She knew Taylor Swift was going to be up there. She saw her, that got her excited, but you know what the best part of it is? And
that's
why
that?
I love the Taylor Swift effect.
What?
She was asking me questions about, was that a good play? What is that? You know, what does that second and four mean? Like, as she's watching and having fun with that. And she likes football, but she doesn't understand it quite yet. She's asking me all those questions.
Oh,
that's why I love that Taylor Swift is there.
How much?
You know, we're bringing a lot of people are becoming football fans, right? Not you know, you can have fun with the pop culture of it, but you kind of see the game and you're like, this is fun. This is why all those men are idiots, and you know, we'll just drool over this silly kids game. It is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
but that was cool. It was a great night. Glad for, you know, the fans around here that it was a night to celebrate on both ends. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight when we return on Sports Daily.